You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome back to Section 31, Episode 003. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
What have we got on tap for this week?
Well, today we've got some new intelligence on the regional season. We're going to focus on some non-aligned cards that we have under surveillance. We're going to throw you a little bit of a trading tip, and we've got some tournament results from the past week.
All right, what are we going to start out with?
Why don't we start off with regional, since we've already had a few. Lord knows I've already had a few.
Well, we seem to be well into the regional season. Some things to keep in mind for those of you who have not been to one yet. Deck lists are still mandatory. The deck checks, however, may be optional. The tournament director has the option of playing if the tournament meets these qualifications. If there are less than 16 players in the tournament, and if the tournament director is not the one doing the deck checks, or there are no deck checks, and finally, if he does not create a buy, that tournament director can play in their tournament.
So does that mean that you could potentially have a regional without deck checks?
Yes.
I mean, not that I'm complaining. I certainly don't want you playing in a tournament and looking at all of our decks before you play against us.
Correct. But if you're in a region that, say, doesn't have a lot of tournaments, and this is the opportunity, one of the few opportunities for the tournament director to play, if you want to forego deck checks, you can go ahead and jump in and join the competition.
Sure. I like the bit about the buy. You certainly don't want to have a tournament director creating a buy for such a situation, especially with it being a regional tournament with so much on the line and people coming from all over traveling. I'm sure we've had people travel, what, like 6 hours to
yes.
get?
Yes.
Or further. Bakersfield was the guy who
came down. Bakersfield, Arizona. People come a long way. Yeah.
I believe we've also received some recent intelligence that the Continuing Committee has received a large quantity of the elusive Peric foils for the upcoming regional season. Is that correct?
That's correct. Every tournament director will be receiving 20 Peric foils from the Continuing Committee for distribution at the regional event.
So hopefully, no matter how many people you get at your regional, everybody should get one. And I believe the committee has even promised that should your regional outgrow your Peric foils, they will make sure that everybody who did not get one will subsequently get one in the mail. So everybody gets a Peric foil, finally.
That is correct.
Be good news to the collectors out there.
1 week after the last regional, the Peric foils will become legal in standard tournament play.
Ah, excellent. So we won't have some people from regionals getting them legal before others, but then they'll be legal for continentals and worlds and such.
Yes. So I guess that would make this the last official Decipher card to become legal in play.
Excellent. So if a tournament director were to play in his own tournament, does he get a Peric foil for running the tournament and for playing in the tournament?
I believe so there's going to be a breakdown of who gets what so that it limits it to just the players and you get one.
Oh,
I think if there are any extra, the first and second place probably will get one and the rest will be reduced randomly to the other participants. Information will be out so that all the players and tournament directors know what to expect beforehand on who gets what and how many you'll be going home with.
All right, our operatives have given us some intelligence on some tournaments going on around the world. On Sunday, March 2nd, there was a 2E constructed tournament in Rosedale Mall Food Court. First place went to Mike Harrington. I believe he's a former 1E world champion from a few years back. Second place went to Kevin Yeager.
On Wednesday, February 27th, in San Diego, California, there was a 2E constructed tournament. Went three rounds. Seven players came out. First place was taken by Johnny Haliva. Second place went to Thomas Weinberg.
We know of at least two other tournaments going on this past week, one in Langholzfeld, Austria, and Chesapeake, Virginia, and yet nobody is sending us their tournament results. If you want us to report on your results, you need to email us those tournament reports. Where can they do that?
You can send a private message to me, SIRDAN, Sir Dan, on the message boards, or you can send an email to section31@danhammond.com.
Speaking of sending mail to Section 31, we would love for you to email us here at the program.
We wish we could go back down to Risa, but we're stuck here.
No one has sent us messages. other than to try and enter the contest and take our foils. So if you have a comment, a question, or just something you'd like us to address on the program, send us email.
You can send that mail again to section31@danhammond.com.
It's lonely on this abandoned relay station. Please send us mail.
I admit it takes exceptional people to do what we do.
Due to their high frequency of use surrounding a select number of cards, we're going to profile for you a number of the cards that we have targeted for surveillance. This week, with the regional season upon us, I think we're going to focus on non-aligned personnel, since no matter what you're playing, except for Borg, just about anybody is going to be able to use this information.
There are two personnel that I've seen a lot of play recently. I was leaning toward Persis, but Persis has got an awful lot of skills that are really good to use. She's got high attributes, and she only costs two. But even more so, Ezri Tegan, Soldier of Fortune. Six skills, zero cost, command star, pretty good attributes, 4-6-4, not so good attributes. She tends to run away every once in a while, but she often comes back. She pretty much fits into just about every deck I've put together recently.
And actually what I was using her for most recently was she's a zero-cost thief that I can drop with Mourn at Mouth of the Wormhole and just sit there. And I don't have to worry about the resources I'm not using. Matt is waving at us, screaming fervently about Lore, who is indeed an old-school favorite.
Yes, and if you're looking for skills, he certainly has a lot of them.
He certainly does have a lot of them. I can think of at least two missions that, given a piece of equipment, he can do by himself. He can't be stopped.
He can't be stopped, and he's got the attributes.
And he can, but he can be killed. And there have since. I will admit to that those first months after Necessary Evil came out, you did not see a deck without a Lore in it. While I have been surveilling a number of cards, Persis is indeed on my spot list, as is T'Pol, Sub-Commander. So many Federation decks playing with humans, even Starfleet decks as well, taking advantage of her additional skills, not to mention the fact that she already has six skills to begin with, which brings her up to 8. 6, 7, 6, perfectly respectable set of skills. She's got cost 4, but I really don't think she can come to beat the card that I've seen in just about every deck I've been playing against recently, Julian Bashir, Rebel Captain. Bioexo, Leadership, Medical Officer, Science. Oh my God, he's a tank plowing right through Silkovsky Infection. He's got 4, 8, 6. That Cunning 8 is going to come in really useful. His cost of 6 is not as prohibitive as it might seem in case you're, unless your opponent is playing that stupid cheater deck, Voyager. And it also helps you out against things like Dalrock and coupled with things like These Are the Voyages, he's just a machine. I got to put him in every deck.
We'd like to know what personnel you have under surveillance. For this week's contest, we would like to hear back, what is your favorite non-aligned personnel? What I've got here is a D-Agent exclusive Jewel of the Dice foil. And if you write to us and tell us what your favorite non-aligned personnel, and we're going to limit it to non-aligned personnel who have an attribute greater than 6, so they'll help you get past Jewel of the Dice. Tell us why you like the personnel, and one randomly selected response will be sent the D-Agent exclusive Jewel of the Dice foil.
Make it sound so ominous.
If you recall back to the first podcast, we promised a pack of sleeves to the first person to respond to the podcast. Do we have a winner for that?
Yes, we do. Johannes Klarhauser was on the ball. He was the first person to respond to us. So he is going to get a shiny new pack of black opaque sleeves for him to put all of his The Undiscovered Country card printouts into. Congratulations, Johannes. Send us an email at section31.com with your address, and we'll ship those out right away. In other contest result news, we have a winner in our Borg contest, Redux.
Yes, part 2. We had a pretty good number of responses of all the entrants that we deemed worthy. Richard New had his answer randomly selected, so he will be the recipient of the No-Kill Eye foil, the D-Agent exclusive. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Richard. You also need to send us an email with your address, and we will get that out to you right away. Hey, Dan, I've been having some trouble trading to get all of these random promotional foils that Decipher put out with the D-Agent foils and the DGMA foils and the World Premiere foils. I really wish I could find some place to trade for these.
I've been using a site called Mahasamatman, trade.mahasamatman.com, M-A-H-A-S-A-M-A-T-M-A-N, just like it sounds. It has the Mahasamatman's page will give you the best prospective traders, even across games. I just completed a trade with a guy in, where did this come from? Belgium. Eric Vanderwall. And it's how I've been collecting all the cards that I've missed over the last few sets. I highly recommend it. And most importantly, the more people who use it, the better it is for everyone.
All right, that's all the intelligence we have for you this week. On behalf of our producer, Matt Kirk, we'd like to once again offer our thanks to our favorite rock band, Warp 11. Hey, keep rocking. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And this has been another episode of Section 31. Don't forget to expand your power in the universe.
And help draw 3 to end.